Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. Today is my show with Mark Grimm, County Lead Spotlight. And one of the issues that Mark is going to be talking about is the ban on conversion therapy that was discussed at the meeting on Monday night. So, Mark, how did it go?
Hello, Cynthia. Just to explain conversion therapy, this is the idea that if a child is gay, they can be talked out of it with, quote, therapy, converting them back to being straight. Now, this has been really debunked by the medical profession. But this still does exist. We're not. It's unclear whether how much it actually exists in Albany County. But the sponsor, Brian Clenahan, wanted to ban this activity, and he got some very strong support. The vote was actually 37-1 in favor of the conversion therapy, and
wow.
I voted in favor of it as well. I think one of the worst things a parent can say to a child is there's something wrong with you because you're gay. And because we look up to our parents, we rely on them for confidence and support. So I think it's a positive step forward, making a statement that if you're gay, there's nothing wrong with being gay. That's who you are. And the Albany County Albany County made a strong statement. Legislator Signoracci voted no. He didn't give any explanation, so I don't know what his reasoning was there. But this is something that's been in the works for a few months now, and we voted on it the other night.
So has a lot of legislators across the country dealt with this issue, or is New York in the forefront?
Well, I think it's some places they have. I'm not sure, you know, the total view of it, but it's somewhat controversial because, you know, I want to be clear, it's only for minors. If you're an adult, you can, you know, my view is a free country. If you want to do this as an adult, then that's your business. But this would ban it for minors, for folks, for the reasons I just enumerated. Imagine, you know, a 14-year-old being told there's something wrong with them or her. And, you know, so that's this is for minors only, and that's why I thought it was really appropriate. Because you're really imposing them. Now, there's people on religious grounds. They say, look, it's my child. I should be able to do what I want. And there's, mm-hmm. there's certain legitimacy for, obviously, the role the parental involvement plays, irrespective of the government. But it's also true that we don't allow child abuse under the guise that, well, they're my children. I can do whatever I want. So there is a legitimate purpose for the government to intercede, and I think this is one of those legitimate purposes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And then one of the other issues brought up was...
Yes, oh, yeah, there's something I brought up. In the legislature, we're bombarded with paperwork, and then we approve one thing after another, and it's hundreds of millions of dollars every year. And one thing caught my eye, because oftentimes we get pass-through money, they call it. We have to approve stuff for the county that comes from the federal or state government. And the attitude, frankly, of most legislators is, well, if it's not county money, then we can just take the money. But I don't feel that that's our role because, as I like to say, when my constituents stop paying federal tax and state income tax, then I'll stop worrying about these federal and state pastors. So there's one that caught my eye at the meeting this month. It was a $200,000 grant from the federal government to establish a prevention research center to study the effect of home-delivered meals to folks who get the meals. And what I objected to is there's $200,000 we're spending, and not a penny of it is going to pay for any meals. It's to study or evaluate, you know, the effect of home-delivered meals. And I just feel that's not really a warranted use of taxpayer money. And so we accepted what, you know, it passed to accept this $200,000 from the federal government. Just because the government wants to give us this money, I don't think we just necessarily should spend it. That's why we're being asked to approve this money in the first place. So I objected to that, and I got a half a dozen no votes there. But it did pass regardless. And but I do think part of our role is to really scrutinize every penny that's spent because this money is coming from the pockets of our constituents. So I would have liked to see more no votes on that one.
Well, you know, I guess you're talking about older people with the Meals on Wheels. And
yeah,
that
it's a very popular program, and it has broad support. But we approved the other night is $200,000 that wouldn't pay for any meals. So my point is, if we're going to spend money on home delivered meals, they should be on the meals, and not on something else.
I agree.
And so there was some discussion, a little bit of discussion on that. But I think it's significant because to the broader issue is just because the federal or state government wants to give us money, that doesn't necessarily mean we should always say yes, because they spend a lot of money that's unwarranted in the federal and state government. And there's a reason why we're asked to approve it, because if it affects county government, we have to approve money. So every grant that we get, we have to approve. It just doesn't automatically come to us because we're elected by the county residents to make these kinds of decisions.
So did you say, this money should be allocated towards food for elderly people? Was that an argument that was brought up, and what was the response?
What I said is, if we're spending money on a home-delivered meals program, the money should be spent on meals, period, not on extemporaneous things like this. And I'm not saying there may be no value to this at all, but it's just I don't think it's legitimate to say we should be spending $200,000 to study the impact of home-delivered meals. We know what the impact is. We're feeding people who are looking for meals. And it's a popular program. And it has strong it's enjoyed strong support among legislators for obvious reasons. It's something the government does that's really a good thing.
So one of the other things that was brought up was having Albany County as a sanctuary county. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. As you can imagine, this is very controversial because we are seeing this pop up in some municipalities and across the country. And there's a proposal. It doesn't use the term sanctuary county, by the way, but that's essentially what it is. It actually would dictate that the county would play no role in helping immigration services at all. I'll read from this is a proposal by just two members that, Mr. Fine and Mr. Simpson are the only two on this so far, which to me is a good sign. But it says Albany County officials do not investigate individuals' immigration or citizenship status, do not participate in the enforcement of federal immigration law, and leave the enforcement of federal immigration law to federal officials. And we've seen the controversial cases across the country where illegal immigrants were allowed to stay in the country. And in one case, the most noted case is Kate Steinle in California, where she was shot to death by an illegal immigrant. So I'm someone who just believes that that we should follow the law. And that's, I think, the biggest overarching issue on this whole matter is it okay to break the law? And I don't think it is. Yes, we're a nation of immigrants, but those immigrants in many instances came here legally. And I just don't think it's fair to ask some people to stand in line and others not to. But, there's a very different point of view on this. There's a large number of people that feel that they're going to do whatever they can to, protect. Well, I want to make sure everyone is treated humanely. We agree on that. But there's really strong disagreement on the immigration status. And what this does is it brings the federal issue and become a county issue, because this is now a proposal in the Albany County Legislature.
Do you think this is an issue that's been blown out of proportion?
In what way, Cynthia?
Well, to be very controversial, because I read recently that this was manufactured by the White House to create more for-profit prisons. How do you feel about that whole concept?
A for-profit prison? I think whatever works best for the government is what we should do. We outsource things all the time in government and let private. By the way, building our roads is a good example that we contract with private road builders all the time. So, uh-huh. You know, whether a prison's for profit or not, I'm for whether it works. By that, I mean, does the taxpayer get the best bang for the buck? And do we actually help engage in, rehabilitation so we don't have such a high return rate of people who get out? As you know, oftentimes it's a revolving door. People get out of prison, get back into prison. And our sheriff has said, he realizes you can't arrest your way out of drug problems. So he's been really in the forefront of having drug rehab at jails, which I support. Because the goal is to have fewer people committing crime, obviously. And way we do that is, one, is to have strict law enforcement. If you commit a crime, you're going to do the time. I believe in that. I'm a law and order person. But I also think that, unless we address the drug problem in many different ways, we're going to continue to have a large crime problem. So I think that's what we have to be strong on law enforcement, but also recognize that we have to be proactive in resolving problems that have been around for a long time. And to circle back to your original question, for profit, whether it's not our government or for profit, they should be held to the same standard. Are we doing what we hope to do with prisons, which is to keep violent people away from us and ultimately to rehabilitate people that are? And there's some people that they're just plain evil, and I don't want them to ever see the light of day. And for obvious reasons, they can harm people. But there's a lot of people in jail who could be productive citizens, and in many cases, if their drug habit is dealt with, or and also mental health issues. A lot of people in prison, in jail, have mental health issues, and we're just not doing enough in the mental health area generally. That's an area of improvement for government, is to do more with mental health.
So Monday night, those were the only two issues that were brought up, the conversion therapy and the sanctuary county. Was there anything else that was
There's a proposal by Messrs. Mendick and Clenahan about allowing for more than one prime sponsor. This is kind of inside baseball for the legislature. Right now we have it. There can only be one principal sponsor on a bill. And the sponsors of this new bill was to say you could have multiple prime sponsors. And just for the reasons, because sometimes people collaborate, Democrat with Republican, and to say you have to have just one prime sponsor, it just isn't fair. If we have multiple prime sponsors, I think, the reason is people like to take credit for bills. This is why this is significant to legislators. But also, I think we want to encourage Democrats and Republicans working together. So we have, for example, two working together. They should both be prime sponsors. And so this was proposed, and it passed 25-13. And once again, the no folks didn't really have much to say about it. I just feel like this is something that should have gotten more yes votes. But I think the point of this legislation was to encourage more bipartisan cooperation, which I believe in. I worked with Lynn Lekakis, who you know. She's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. We worked as co-chairs of this modernization committee, and we really put the labels aside and said, what can we do to help modernize the legislature? And we passed our bill overwhelmingly. So hopefully at some point in the fall, we're going to be much more modernized, and we'll keep you abreast of those developments too.
Terrific. So what's on the horizon for the county legislature?
Well, there's two controversies we've discussed in the past. This idea of paid sick leave, mandating how much paid sick leave an employer has to have. That's a very controversial, remains that way. That proposal has been bogged down in committee. What they're trying to do is to get means so some more. They're going to soften the bill a little bit to get more support from folks. So changes are being made to that. So we really don't have a final version of that. The paid sick leave proposals, and that's going to change. And also the sprinklers, mandating that every new home construction has sprinklers. And my estimate, sprinklers are about $12,000. So that Now, the state law already requires that you offer the option to anyone in New York State when they build a new home. But according to the Capital Region Builders, no one, since the law went into effect in 2015, no one has actually decided to have those sprinklers. I think for obvious reasons, they cost too much. So I just feel that that's a decision should be left up to the consumer. If they want to buy the sprinklers, then that's fine. But for the government to impose that kind of mandate, I don't support that at all.
Has that been enacted in other parts of the state or country?
Yeah. Yeah, you see these things popping up here and there. But I have to say there are a large number of states who actually the state law prohibits any municipality from imposing this mandate. I forget the number. I think it's over 30 states say, you know, no city or county can actually pass a law to mandate this. They actually prohibit the mandating of it. I think that's pretty significant that most states won't even allow a municipality to do it. You know, indicate because it's such a it would be a real added burden because the politicians talk a lot, Cynthia, about we want our constituents to live the American dream, and that is to have their own home. Well, you can't say that on one hand and then impose a $12,000 cost on the other, from my standpoint. So, I want my constituents to realize the American dream, and I want to make it as easy as possible for them to buy a home, not make it a lot harder. But so that's something that's still in committee. Yeah, that's in committee too. So, and that may be modified too. When a lot of times when something gets there's a lot of opposition to something. Sometimes they modify it and try to get more votes. So, we'll see how that works out too.
So you said that the sick leave legislation will be modified. How do you think it will be modified?
Making it less restrictive. For example, maybe saying for really small employers under 5 employees that you don't have to pay for the sick leave. They can take the sick leave, but you know they wouldn't be required to pay it. That's just one example. But there's nothing in final form right now. So now I'm just speculating. But I believe that, you know, how can we soften the restrictions to get more votes? And this is, you know, and this is fairly common when you have a controversial proposal. So this is something we just have to keep an eye on. That's why we have the county-led spotlight, Cynthia, because we'll keep an eye on these kinds of things. And we'll update our listeners every month so they can be apprised of what's going on. But these controversial issues have not gone away. They're just right now they're in committee.
Right. And has any of the opposition, anybody in the opposition, have they changed their minds and is now in favor of the sick leave legislation that you know of?
Well, we haven't had it got defeated in one, not a sprinkler law, I guess. I guess we haven't had a vote on the final product, so it's in flux right now. It's really hard to say where people stand. But I do think the legislature is divided right now, and they're going to continue to be divided. And this is going to be a fight to the end, I'm sure.
Wow. So do you have a time frame in which the final vote will take place?
No. It's what we'll see in the committee, depending how these things go in the committee process, because oftentimes we've had this now, both of these bills have been tabled when they've come before committees. Tabled means we're not ready to vote on it yet. And so that's why sometimes they can be modified. So it's just a matter of just kind of keeping an eye on things and see how they go. And then in order to get to the floor of the full legislature, they have to pass committees. And that may or may not happen. It's possible that they are defeated in committee, but typically things are passed. If a committee is opposed to something, they send it to the floor with a negative recommendation. That means they believe it should be voted down, but they still send it to the floor anyway. And then that belief is because, Cynthia, in some cases, because I voted sometimes to move things to the floor where I didn't support the idea, but I do support the idea of letting the full legislature vote on something. Sometimes that happens. I just feel like everybody should have a chance because the committee is, you know, only nine people. So that sometimes happens.
Yep. Right. I know that there's been a lot of turmoil within the county legislature. Has things calmed down any?
I think so. Andrew Joyce now has been chairman for how many months now? We're into July, 7 months. And
uh-huh.
You know, we've had a lot of staffing changes, and that's a sort of an uncomfortable situation for folks, for obvious reasons. But I think
uh-huh.
We're pretty close to being back to the staff that they want. And I just think now votes are much more open. It used to be a lot more, you know, party line votes. This is what the leaders want kind of thing. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing at every meeting now there's different coalitions on yeses and noes, which is the way the legislature should be. You know, we see in Congress so many party line votes and in the state. So I think our legislature actually is in a pretty good place right now where, you know, we kind of debate issues and then we vote. And some issues, some Democrats and some Republicans are together, and some other issues they're not. So I think that's pretty cool.
And you are in session 12 months a year, correct?
That's right, yeah. There's a ledge meeting every month. It's the second Monday in the month, every month of the year, unless there's a holiday or something like that. And sometimes we hold an extra meeting in December relating to the budget. And then there's committee meetings throughout the year. And, man, it's a lot of meetings. Not the least of which, and then there's the homework prior to the meeting where you have to study this mound of paper,
right?
You know,
so
hundreds and hundreds
of
resolutions.
So in addition to the modernization committee that you're on with Lynn Lukakis, what other committees are you on?
Oh, I'm the chairman of the personnel committee, where
okay.
when they try to make appointments, we give them scrutiny. And what I look for there is, you know, people, we want to make sure qualified people are appointed and not just the buddies of some of our legislators or family members. You know, the nepotism thing is still stalled in committee too, this anti-nepotism, this idea that you can't appoint a member of the family to a political appointment. So that's
mm-hmm.
working its way through committee as well. That's another thing we should mention too. I just feel the most qualified candidates should get the jobs, which of course most people feel that way. So that's what I look for on the personnel committee, is to make sure appointments are really qualified. And we did approve an appointment for Director of Real Property Services. Maggie Alex was approved the other night. And she's a longtime aide to Sean Ward, who was the former chairman of the legislature. So obviously that piqued my interest when I saw that. But, you know, Maggie appeared before the committee and she really presented herself well. And she's qualified, very much qualified for the position. So she was a unanimous vote on the floor the other day. So we congratulate her for, and I'm sure she'll do a good job.
Great. So then when I started talking to you about this, honestly, I had really no knowledge of what goes on in the county legislature. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So I'm glad I created this segment.
Well, I call you the citizen journalist. You've really done a lot to shed light on how the city and the county works and the state, because I know you have state officials on there as well. So I'm so glad.
Right.
I just recommend to people, this should be must listening to every month. Just spend a few minutes listening to the update on the county legislature, and you'll learn a lot more about it. And I think the more you learn about the county legislature, the more interesting it becomes. I think people don't pay a lot of attention to the county legislature because they don't know they're not really sure what it does. And what it does is spends, you know, $680 million of our money every year. And we engage in these issues that people care a lot about, you know, immigration. I understand that there's very strong feelings on both sides of this, and I respect the folks on the other side. But, you know, these are issues worth debating because they matter.
Right. So, Mark, I look forward to talking with you next month.
Okay,
and
Cynthia.
I'm sure you'll have a lot to say. So, give yourself a little pitch.
Oh, you know, apart from being I'm a county legislature from the 29th district, which represents Carmen Road and Western Avenue. But you know, my livelihood is Mark Grimm Communications. And what I do is I'm a professional speaker, and I speak at conferences, or I go to corporations and speak on a number of topics, which include how to be a better communicator, how to deal with the media, motivation, inspiration, change management, all those things. And many of the topics that I speak about are listed at markgrimm.com. So, you know, that's my business. I'm also a coach, a one-on-one coach for folks who want to be a stronger speaker or deal better with the media. And I love it because I help people every day, which is what I do as a county legislator. Ultimately, our job as an elected official is to help people. If you're not helping people, you're not doing your job.
Right. So we'll talk again next month. You've been listening to County Legislator Mark Grimm on County Led Spotlight. So if you like this show, like it, like Focus on Albany on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Mark, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Enjoy your
thank
summer.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay,
we'll talk
bye.
To you soon.